I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely hyped by an irresponsible press.
Speaking of the press being irresponsible, welcome to another day of COVID-19, the pandemic, and the Daily Perspective. Hi there. It's the Daily Perspective podcast, the Tuesday, March 31st edition. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, who has cabin fever just like you. And I hope you're doing well. How are you? Please don't throw things at your mobile device. You could break it. It's a gray, cloudy, rainy day in our neighborhood around here. Hopefully things are better where you are. And I hope you are faring well as we weather this pandemic together and try to grasp some hope where hope is available. Because it seems that the mainstream press, the progressive press, the leftist liberal press, doesn't want anyone to have hope. They want everyone to be focused on the, well, if this had happened, then we would be in better shape than we are now. Well, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. It's the thing is that these people don't want Donald Trump to succeed at anything. And so they criticize everything. You know the joke that people had been have been making for quite some time, that if President Trump announced a cure for cancer, all the progressives, liberals, leftists in the world would condemn him for it? Well, that's what's going on right now. We have a pandemic. We have what is arguably a nasty situation. And I say arguably because when you look at it compared to a regular flu season, it's really not making the impact a regular flu season does. But we're having this crisis, and people are stepping forward and offering solutions, and things are happening. And our president, in January, while the Democrats in the House of Representatives were passing articles of impeachment and Nancy Pelosi was passing out souvenir pens, Donald Trump was putting together the coronavirus task force and moving things in the proper direction. And yet, the leftist press and your liberal pals on social media ignore the facts and pursue hatred. They enjoy it. They marinate in hatred. It's like the hot tub of hatred. And they're all in it together comparing notes. And it's really, really disgusting. The end result is progressive soup, and nobody wants that. It can't pass a health exam, trust me. Here's absurd item number one of the day. Mike Lindell, the guy behind MyPillow. You've seen the ads on TV. They're everywhere. They're on social media. You can't get away from MyPillow ads. They're all over the place. Full disclosure, in our house, We have seven MyPillow products in our house right now. I had to stop and count for a second. We have the two king-size pillows on our bed. We have travel pillows that came along with those as well. We have neck bolster pillows, just little round things that have come in very handy. When I was in the hospital, that was my pillow. In the hospital, I took the hospital's pillow and set it off to one side, and I used the neck bolster pillow from MyPillow because it was more comfortable, and the only way I could be comfortable was kind of slightly sitting up, and that worked perfectly. We also have a MyPillow dog bed. They had a sale. I bought one. The dog loves it. But Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, is retooling his factories to make face masks to help meet the current need. And liberals, leftists, progressives, because he is a man of faith, are ridiculing him and belittling him because he's a man of faith, and he offered up some praise for our president for the job he's doing. you just can't do that. Oh my goodness, no. It's as though they're gasping and clutching their pearls, and they are, it's just ridiculous. It's honestly, it's just ridiculous. Greg Gutfeld from Fox News, you know him from The Five, posted on Twitter, when people do great things to help others, the media mocks their religion. Imagine if it were the reverse. Someone did evil things, and then you mentioned their religious extremism? The media would be calling you a bigot. And then he basically says, makes a suggestion about what should be done to these hypocritical a-holes. And I agree with him. Because you can't trust the mainstream press. I've been saying, this is the drum I've been pounding. For how long have I been pounding this drum? What is this? This is podcast number 196. And I've taken a little time off, a few months off for knee surgeries. Podcast, I'm almost hitting number 200. And since number one, I think I've been saying, you can't trust the mainstream news media. You just can't. They're not going to tell you the truth. And when they present the truth, they present it from an angle that makes it look like a lie. Because they aren't interested in truth. They aren't journalists. They are advocates for a mentality, the progressive mentality. And that's all they care about. And so, a great guy like Mike Lindell, who is keeping his employees working, making an income, able to feed their families, take care of their children, retooling his factories to make face masks to meet the need. The guy is doing something good. And because he appreciates the work of our president, he is an evil idiot. If you don't believe me, open Twitter today and just look for, just go find this that tweet by Greg Gutfeld. Open the tweet by Greg Gutfeld and then look at the comments below it. And then go take a hot shower and do something to distract yourself and try to forget. Because the vitriol, the venom, the horror below his statement is emblematic of what we're dealing with. Because progressives in this country, as I said, they're in the hot tub of hatred. They're motivated and perpetuated by hate. They're empowered by their hatred. And it is a horrible thing to behold. It's a horrible thing to behold. And when we get back to the mainstream press, can we get back to the mainstream press? Holy cow. Let's do. How about that? Let's get back to the mainstream press on another topic to give you an idea. You know, we haven't talked about the presidential race in a while. It hasn't been at the top of the news because of the pandemic. Well, you remember when Brett Kavanaugh was going through the process to become a Supreme Court justice. You remember what happened on live television. With millions of Americans watching, our first example of how base and vile the Democrats actually are, and how willing they are to lie, cheat, steal, do whatever they have to wield their power. The mainstream media, all forms of it, whether it be video or publication, gave wall-to-wall coverage of Christine Blasey Ford's allegations against then Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. This was in 2018. And their reasoning? It was the Me Too movement. You have to believe all women. She must be believed. Even Republicans who should have known better on national television said, we have to trust what she has to say and we have to investigate. Even though it was an obvious, bald-faced ruse. It was a distraction. It was a deceptive ploy. Well, on March 24th, 7 days ago, The Intercept reported on the sexual allegations of someone else. Someone named Tara Reid. Allegations from 1993 against then-Senator Joe Biden. Tara Reid was one of his staffers. She is making sexual allegations of a sexual attack. The Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, none of them have reported the allegation in the 6 days following the story in The Intercept. 6 or 7 days. By contrast, when Christine Blasey Ford accused Brett Kavanaugh in a report in The Washington Post on September 16th, 2018, those same four news organizations gave wall-to-wall coverage of the allegation in the 6 days following the Post's report. A brief review by the Daily Wire of the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, and MSNBC finds that Ford and Reid were mentioned the following number of times by the publications in the first 6 days after their allegations were made public. The Washington Post, Christine Blasey Ford, over 100 times. Over 100 mentions. Tara Reid, zero. The New York Times, Christine Blasey Ford, over 90 times. Tara Reid, zero. MSNBC, Christine Blasey Ford, over 100 mentions. Tara Reid, zero. CNN, Christine Blasey Ford, over 100 mentions. Tara Reid, zero. Vice President for TechWatch, Dan Gaynor, Business and Culture at the Media Research Center. He's the Vice President for TechWatch, the Business and Culture Division at Media Research Center, says the media blackout surrounding this allegation facing Biden stems from the media's desire to protect him. Quote, the news media are desperately avoiding anything negative about Joe Biden, especially the allegations of sexual assault. If they propped him up anymore, he could be replaced by a department store mannequin. Biden gets loving coverage on The View, and an irresponsible but softball question from NBC's Chuck Todd asking if Trump has blood on his hands. It looks like the press has embraced the strategy that Alex Wagner proposed. In her words, quote, Democrats need little from the frontrunner beyond his corporeal presence. The news media seemed determined to deliver just that and nothing more. I'm not going to go through the description. It is graphic. It is disturbing. What Tara Reid claims happened should never have happened and should have been made public years ago. But now she's stepping forward. And nobody had a thing to say about Christine Blasey Ford waiting so long. But because Tara Reid has stepped forward, they're not saying anything at all. Remember, Ford couldn't remember when or where her alleged assault happened. She couldn't remember the exact year. She couldn't remember the exact house. She couldn't explain how she got there or how she got home. She couldn't explain a lot of things. Her family didn't back her up. There's no proof that she ever even met Brett Kavanaugh. No proof whatsoever. By contrast, Reid claims her alleged assault happened in 1993. Her brother says she told him at the time about it. She used to work for Biden when he was a senator. The record supports that. But our news media is ignoring her claim. Completely ignoring it. Why? Because, as I've said before, the Democrats don't need much from the front runner beyond the fact that he is living and breathing and can stand up in front of a camera. I have said this just like the, was said in this article, I have been saying this for a while, that the Democrats don't care whether Joe Biden is mentally fit for the presidency or not. They don't care if he can actually do the job, because they are going to script everything he does and says. And they will make sure that his handlers handle him within strict boundaries. It doesn't matter. And of course, they're ignoring the claims of a woman who should be believed by their standards. Of course they are, because her claims damage their candidate. And her claims actually have some weight and validity to them, unlike claims against Donald Trump and Brett Kavanaugh. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. It is Tuesday, the 31st day of March, 2020. And life in America and around the world is kind of crazy right now. I don't need to tell you that. You're going through it just like everybody else is. It never ceases to amaze me how low people will go, especially when it comes to victimizing the elderly. It just never ceases to amaze me. We already know that a lot of people are getting a check from the IRS. A lot of people are. That should start happening within the next couple of weeks. If you filed electronically, then you should just automatically get the a $1,200 amount per adult. Like if you're single and below 75 grand income, then you should get $1,200. If you are married, both of you, you're supposed to get $1,200 apiece plus $500 per child, and it'll go direct into your bank account if you filed electronically. If you did not, if you filed by mail, it'll take a little bit longer, and you'll get a check in the mail. And already scammers have started making phone calls, phony calls, saying they're from the IRS, and they want your bank account number to deposit your $1,200. Yeah, unbelievably, they're doing that. And you know why they're doing that? Because it works. Because people fall for it. And they fall for it every time there is something going on. Well, even when there's not something going on, they'll call you and they will tell you, hey, I'm with the IRS and so-and-so. And we need your bank account to be able to deposit this money we're sending you. Or we've made some adjustment to your tax refund. We actually have more for you. Can I verify your bank account? Don't give them your bank account. The IRS never makes a phone call. They just don't. They don't make a phone call. You'll get official documents in the mail from the IRS. You'll never get a phone call. So don't fall for it. The scammers are out there. They're out there. Now, can I give you one more absurd item? Can I? This just popped up. God bless my friend Ben Cleary, who's in Rome, Georgia. Hi, Ben. It's this article from the Huffington Post, the Huffington Post just chaps my backside. I don't like them because they are also motivated by hatred. But this story just shows you how clueless we as a people can be. While some New Yorkers have been isolating themselves and following social distancing guidelines during the coronavirus pandemic, others in the city are being reckless regarding others' welfare. On Monday morning, referring to yesterday, the USNS Comfort arrived in New York City's harbor. The hospital ship with approximately 1,000 patient beds is expected to take the non-COVID-19 patients at city's hospitals across all five boroughs in an effort to free up space. New York City has over 36,000 reported cases of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus, as of Monday morning. 790 people have died of the disease. Ahead of the ship's arrival in the Hudson River, Dozens of New Yorkers gathered on Manhattan's west side to watch it arrive. Photos from Getty Images that were also posted on social media show crowds of people gathered yesterday, most of whom were not maintaining 6 feet of distance from others as advised by health experts to limit the spread of the virus. COVID-19 is thought to spread between people who are in close contact with one another, which the CDC identifies as within about 6 feet. The disease can also transmit through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. The ease of transmission is the only reason why residents of the New York State, which has become the global epicenter of the pandemic, are being directed to stay home through April 15th. At global epicenter. I don't think you can make that claim because we don't know what's really going on in China, where most of us thinking people are pretty certain that China's lying about things. Governor Andrew Cuomo also announced Monday that New York State now has more than 66,000 cases of the coronavirus. Those in the crowd must have missed the irony that they were putting themselves at greater risk of infection to see a ship that was there only because the city was struggling to contain infections. So they're out there with their cameras, getting their Instagram photos. I was there when the ship came in. And look at me, I'm less than 6 feet from other people. And I might catch something. And that's the absurdity. Come on, people. Seriously? Seriously? Good grief. And with that, we begin looking at COVID-19. New Yorkers. Come on, people. Grow some gray cells, would you? Use your brains. Oh, my goodness gracious sakes alive. It's just unbelievable. Well, there's a lot going on surrounding what's happening with COVID-19. And let's go ahead and take a look at numbers, shall we? Let me pull up Worldometer and see where we are right now. Here in the United States of America, a total of 164,435 cases, 591 new cases, 3,175 total deaths, and 19 new deaths since yesterday. Is it just me, or are these numbers slowing down? I think they're beginning to slow down. When we look at totals around the world, 803,187 cases, 39,034 deaths, and 172,745 recoveries. And I wish more people would talk about the recoveries. Now we've had, wait a minute, what was that number again? 39,000 deaths by this, and so far during the same span of time, 120,000 flu deaths, three times as many. They're talking about the possibility, you know, you see the talking heads on TV, talking about the possibility of 100 to 200,000 people dying from coronavirus before it's all said and done. The way things are looking right now, that's just in America. We're at just over 3,000. And if it's going to peak in the next couple of weeks, it has a long way to go before it hits 100,000 deaths. I don't think we're going to get there. I don't think we're going to get close. It all remains to be seen, but honestly, I think you should do the math. And whatever you do, don't get your information from places like CNN. CNN really has a bone to pick with President Trump over COVID-19 testing. On last Thursday, a day after President Trump tweeted that the United States had done more testing than any nation, including South Korea, CNN attempted to throw some fact-checking cold water on that assertion. They tweeted, "Fact check, President Trump says the U.S. had done more coronavirus testing than any other nation." While the U.S. has overtaken South Korea in total numbers of coronavirus tests administered, by the way, isn't that the point? The total number, that's the point, right? The total number, more than anybody else in the world, we've tested more people than any other country. While the U.S. has overtaken South Korea in total numbers of coronavirus tests administered, it has conducted far fewer tests per capita. Well, that's not really a fact check, in as much as the fact was correct, which, if you'll notice, they admitted. CNN just thought it was incorrectly contextualized. You see, they had to change the context of the fact in order to make it a negative, because it's their entire purpose of existence to make everything about Donald Trump into a negative. I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's what they're doing. Remember, at one point, the guy who runs the place had made it all about impeachment. It's all impeachment. It's the Destroy Donald Trump network. They're trying to fact check the president by changing the facts. That doesn't work, my friend. It just doesn't work. But they're going to try to make it work. Why? Because they have to destroy the president. That's why. If they can't destroy the president, they don't have a reason for existing. If they can't destroy the president, then what's the use of being part of the progressive hate soup? That's exactly what's going on here. They like being in the hatred hot tub. So they're going to try to get more people in there, because the more the merrier, you know. CNN. They can't be trusted. They can't be taken seriously. So don't. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Man, oh man. I gotta say, I'm liking the new bumper music. I just added some new cuts to the rotation, and in the way everything works, the programming, computer programming, it picks the least played, the most least recently played stuff, and since it's all new, it's playing all the new stuff right now, and it'll get back around to the regular stuff. It just hit me the other day, you know, I got time on my hands, I could update the bumper music, and so I did. It is the Tuesday, March 31st edition of the Daily Perspective podcast, and it's good to have you along. And the world around us is going crazy. Everything is closed.
Everything is canceled.
Yes, everything is canceled. You can't do anything. You can't go anywhere. Well, you can, but it has to be under certain conditions. And fortunately, where I live in the Birmingham, Alabama area, I don't think we've seen much crackdown on people staying at home. Public gatherings of people, yeah, they're being pretty tight about it. And you need to be going to do, if you're doing essential work, then you've got to go do that. But the last day or so, like yesterday, I was out and about. I had two recording sessions yesterday afternoon elsewhere, and the traffic is light, much lighter than normal on the roads. The city streets are... There's not much going on the city streets. Normally, you'd see cars parked along the curbs a lot of people running around downtown, but you're not seeing that now. And of course, as I talked about yesterday, the shopping areas are empty. If you haven't seen my video about that, go look at yesterday's podcast video on Facebook, on the Facebook page, and you'll see the video. Also, where did I share that? Oh, it's on my... I made it public. You could go look for me on Facebook, Mark Congleton on Facebook. Just be aware that I don't friend everybody. I friend people I know, people I've met, people I actually have a relationship with. But I do have a public page. I'll put it over on the public page sometime this morning. So just look for me and look for the Daily Perspective podcast. It's on that page as well. There's a handful of ways to see it, but it's spooky. The only places with any cars are grocery stores. Like there's the Walmart Supercenter, there's a Target Supercenter, there's a Home Depot, a Sam's Club, and those places had cars parked in front for obvious reasons. Restaurants actually are still doing business. You can call in, place orders, and then go by and pick up. You can call them and say, hey, I'm parked outside. I'm in this kind of car. I'm ready, you know, to get my stuff. And they'll bring it to you. But still, it is eerily strange to drive around Birmingham or my town and to see it's like Christmas Day. It's just very, very strange. Very, very strange. But people are stepping up, and that's the good thing. Talked about Mike Lindell earlier. I keep mixing him up with somebody else, the guy who was on those shows with anyway, about the Scientologists. Mike Lindell, the guy who founded MyPillow, was talking about how he has stepped up and how leftists are condemning him, ridiculing him, and they can't have anything nice to say about anything that's positive with regard to anything Trump is doing. So they are just being their nasty selves about him. But it's the private sector that's stepping up and making the difference. And even Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease expert, explained during an open discussion with NBA player Steph Curry last week that the government system caused the delay in coronavirus testing, praising this private sector for stepping up and taking over. As I've explained before, our government moves very, very slowly. The federal government moves very slowly. It's designed to move slowly. It's designed to work that way. The government's bad at everything it does. It tries to take things on like the private sector, and it fails every time it does. The post office is a good example. It's billions of dollars in debt every year. Amtrak is an example. It's billions of dollars in debt every year. The private sector is quick by necessity. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention was unable to keep up with the pace for the amount of tests necessary for effective COVID-19 testing. That's what Dr. Fauci is explaining. He suggests the government simply cannot be expected to outperform the private sector in this regard. Remember, the private sector is in a world of competition. If you're not first with something, you're second, and the guy in first place is the one who's got all the attention and making all the money. So you have to be first with innovation. You have to be first with new development. You have to be first with a great product or a great service. If you're not, you're picking up what's dropped by the other guy. He says, Dr. Fauci says, we have hundreds of thousands of tests that are out there now, mostly because we got the private sector involved, of the companies who know how to make it well, make large amounts. Later in the stream, Curry again pressed Dr. Fauci on what exactly was holding up the COVID-19 testing. He asked, what are the things inhibiting the tests being accessible to the masses? And the answer was, well, there should be nothing now that's inhibiting it. But originally, the system, the way it was set up, was not geared to this kind of massive capability of instantaneously, safely getting a test, getting it done in a really good period of time. Not days and days, but hours. Right now, the system has changed, predominantly because it's being handed over to the commercial firms who know how to do it. It started off as a public health measure from the CDC. It now needs to be and is being handed off to the commercial group. Dr. Fauci has had a key role in advising President Donald Trump on the China-originated novel coronavirus and keeping the public informed, that is, when news organizations allow the vital Trump press briefings to be played on their platforms. In case you weren't aware of it, the leftist news organizations have been cutting them off, like when Mike Lindell was on the other day. They cut away. They cut away. Unfortunately, the media is trying to drive a wedge between the doctor and President Trump. At least that's what he has suggested. He said, I would wish that would stop because we have a much bigger problem here than trying to point out differences. He said this during a radio interview last week. He goes on to say, when I've made recommendations, he's taken them. He's never countered or overridden me. The idea of pitting one against another is just not helpful. I wish that would stop, and we look ahead at the challenge we have to pull together to get over this thing. During the same interview, Fauci praised the president for his move to implement a limited travel ban from China and then Europe. Though the move was criticized from some on the left, including presumptive Democratic presidential nominee and former Vice President Joe Biden, Biden blasted Trump at the time, saying, "In moments like this, this is where the credibility of a president is most needed, as he explains what we should and should not do. This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria and xenophobia, hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering." You know, everyone who has in government who has anything negative to say about Donald Trump at this point is transparently obvious. It's transparent, completely and totally obvious, that everything they have to say is motivated politically. Watch Nancy Pelosi when she's talking about this. And she said, "While President Trump is fiddling, people are dying." Really? When you actually look at people who know what they're talking about, they're saying, he's doing a great job. He's listening to us. He is letting the people who can move quickly handle things. Things are really getting done. But those with a political motivation, and that motivation being ensuring that he is not reelected as president, you listen to those people, everything is negative. And the reason it's all negative is because they want to paint a negative picture of him and make him look like a failure. So that when November rolls around, when we've got the vast majority of this behind us and we're rebuilding again, they can say, look how far the stock market fell. Look at the damage that was done here. Look at the number of people who are out of work. Look at the number of people who lost their homes. Look at the number of people who died. Look at all of these negative things. Do you really want that man to be president again? This is what they will say. This is what they will do. Which is why it's so incredibly important for you to find your information elsewhere than the mainstream progressive press. Be cautious, be careful, be wise, and be honest when you're looking for your information. Don't just look for information that confirms your personal bias. Look for the truth. President Trump isn't handling everything properly, in my personal opinion. I don't think he needs to be as combative as he has been. I think it would be equally as effective, especially right now when everybody's watching him. I think it would be equally as effective for him to just ignore people who are asking gotcha questions. Like that guy from CNN. And now his name escapes me. We've done stories after story after story about this idiot, but now his name escapes me. Oh, Jim Acosta, that's the guy. Jim Acosta, who's asking gotcha questions, who's going for the negative, who's trying to take things out of context, misrepresent things. And Donald Trump reads him the Riot Act. And he's done it to more than just him. And one side of me says, good, he deserves to be roasted in public. But the other side of me says, look him in the face and say, I'm sorry, we're only taking real questions. And move to the next person over his objections. And Jim Acosta will keep screaming and talking. And he can turn back to him and say, if you don't allow the next person to speak, if you don't allow another a real question, we will have you removed. And actually put him in his place by not giving him a platform to continue. Don't give these idiots the attention they so deeply crave. Just don't. Not at this time. Now later, once we're over the hill, we're over the hump, and we're in recovery, and things are going well, and it's obvious that his leadership was responsible for our recovery, and he is actively campaigning for the presidency, deal harshly with these little weasels. Stomp on them in public and enjoy it while you do it. But right now, just tell them, you know what, we have a serious situation on our hands, so we're only entertaining serious questions here. Next, please. And move on. At least that's the way I see it. Because they're not interested in telling you the truth. They're interested in painting a picture, a very negative picture of a guy who's doing a very positive job. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. It is the Tuesday edition, March 31st, 2020. We're talking about this, that, and the other thing as far as it relates to the world around us. Coronavirus, idiot politicians, idiot news people. Idiots! Idiots, all of them, they're all idiots. Idiots! They're all idiots! Oh, man, what do you do? It's a... you know, yesterday, I had a plan. My plan was to go do my studio sessions for Dawson Now yesterday, take the drone with me, and find some place that I could get it up in the air and take some pretty pictures from a bird's eye view. And it started getting cloudy and started getting ugly, and not ugly, but it just didn't work out. And now we have rain. But the forecast for tomorrow looks good, so hopefully tomorrow I can get out and fly around and shoot some more drone stuff, because I want to get out of the studio. I want to get away for a little while and do some things outside. And no, I'm not suffering from COVID-19, but I am suffering from pollen 20, which is pretty rough right now. Everything is yellow, but this rain is going to help things a lot. And tomorrow after the rain would be a good day to do that. Scanning through social media during the break, as I always do, there's a story from yesterday that happened after we got finished up yesterday. Texas Governor Abbott has signed an executive order that prevents the release of criminals convicted of violent crime, because that's one thing that progressive politicians have been doing. They've done it in California. They've done it in New York. They're using the coronavirus as an excuse to release convicted criminals from prisons. This is something they would like to do anyway, because they're trying to reduce prison overcrowding, and this is an excuse. And they're using several different excuses to justify it. But Governor Abbott in Texas says, no, we're on to you. We see what you're trying to do. No, that ain't happening here in Texas. It's not. And so congratulations, hats off to Governor Abbott of Texas for actually showing the world he has a functioning brain and understands what will work and what won't work. You know, there's a lot of information being passed around, and I've been telling you, be careful where you get your information. And I've told you that social media is one of the main reasons we have such a panic going on. 10, 11 years ago, when H1N1 hit, we didn't have the panic. We didn't have all this stuff going on. We didn't have a president then, President Obama. We didn't have him on the news every day offering updates. We didn't have stories about hospitals being overwhelmed. We didn't have a shortage of masks. We didn't have any of this going on, and it was far, far, far worse than what we're seeing right now. And I think the main reason that we have all of this going on is that we now are all constantly plugged into social media, and we're constantly tapped into the rumor mill / party line. If you're not young enough to remember what a party line is, go look it up. And we're listening in as things go on, and much of what we're listening into is second, third, fourth, fifth, 100th hand information, and it's not accurate in any way. Well, for weeks, Texas State Representative Rafael Anchia, a Democrat from Dallas, has been receiving fake news about COVID-19 from family members, from acquaintances, anybody who has his cell phone number. He says, I'm just getting the most bizarre conspiracy theory misinformation. It arrives in multiple modes of communication. Part of what I spend my day doing is just dispelling that. As COVID-19 spreads across the world, a new virus is brewing and spreading like wildfire. From miraculous cures to paranoid conspiracies, misinformation about the coronavirus, it's all been going viral at such a disturbing rate that data and health scientists have deemed it an infodemic. An infodemic is an overabundance of information, some accurate and some not, that makes it hard for people to find trustworthy sources and reliable guidance when they need it. That's according to a February 2nd report from the World Health Organization. Now, the WHO has been found to have been doing China's legwork for them, so they can't be completely trusted all the time. Just keep that in mind. They're based in Geneva. They've been working around the clock to track myths and rumors. Some of the myths, they've been busted. They've busted include eating garlic, drinking chlorine, and taking a hot bath to prevent infection of the new coronavirus. The University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston and FactCheck.org, a nonpartisan nonprofit based in the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, have also been curating Q&As to help combat misinformation. Some of the viral posts offering false coronavirus tips on social media are wrongly attributed to Stanford University, according to the organization. The posts provide a series of tips about the virus, including instructions for people to hold their breath to gauge whether they've been infected, and falsely suggesting that water consumption can kill the virus. The posts in some cases cite Taiwan experts or Japanese doctors. Manlio De Domenico, a statistical physicist at the Infodemics Observatory, and his team have collected and analyzed about 100 million public messages on Twitter in an effort to measure the infodemic. The observatory is a digital platform that allows users to visualize the infodemic risk of each country in the world. The project was started by the Bruno Kessler Center in Information and Communication Technology, an Italian research center that studies artificial intelligence, according to its website. Between January 22nd, when the city of Wuhan was locked down by Chinese authorities, and March 14th, around 275,000 Twitter accounts posted 1.7 million links to unreliable information about the virus, according to observatory data. Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube, Microsoft, LinkedIn, and Reddit say they're working with government health agencies to ensure people see accurate information about the novel coronavirus and COVID-19. Tarrant County Public Health Director Vinny Taneja, said, this is in Texas, they've received more than 8,300 people who called their 24-hour coronavirus hotline. Most people have been asking where to get tested for COVID-19, but some have also called to verify health-related information they found online. He says, drinking lots of water does help fight infections, but to say it's a cure for COVID-19 is false. People need to stay away from unverified posts on social media and look for credible sources, such as large academic institutions or health departments. And I would add to that, conservative news outlets and conservative websites that are more prone to being cautious about what they pass along, and they look for truth in their reporting. This just goes to confirm, this article from Personal Liberty just goes to confirm what I've been saying, and that is, you can't trust most of your news sources, and you can't trust social media. Social media is rife with wrong information. It's just covered up with wrong information. People mean well. They get excited about something that looks positive. They don't do their due diligence. They post it online, and it spreads like wildfire. It's a serious situation we're in right now. People are getting sick. Some people are dying. And some of those people are dying because they got bad information on social media, and they believed it. So please, I would advise you, this is just from a friend, stop spending so much time in social media. I've said before, I think we would all do well to shut it all down until we're over the hump on this, and to be very specific about where you get your information, because there's a lot of bad information floating around, a lot. A lot. And there are a lot of people who are publishing bad information for bad reasons. A lot of people doing things out of spite, anger, and hatred. And that's all being spread by social media. So please, be wise, be honest, be smart. Don't let these people on social media deceive you. Don't let the leftist press deceive you. Seek out the truth. As I've told you before, it won't be long before you'll get a good sense of what's real and what's not. And you'll know, I think I'm going to wait on this. This seems to be a little hinky. And you'll find out it was. Hey, be safe. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. Don't go out if you don't have to. And we'll see you back here tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.